will continue our study speaking on the under the topic of a Christian's maturity is a gift of God. Christian's maturity is a gift of God. And if you look at the first part of chapter 2, it talks about faith and God's power. And when you look at our faith in God's power, you look at our faith in what God is doing for us. And then we get to verse 6 where we picked up this study, and it's talking about the wisdom of God. But I like to think of it as the gift of God, because the wisdom of God is a gift to us. And in verse, start verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained when? Before the world unto our glory. You hear what it's saying? Always listen to the word of God and you will understand who God is talking to. And Paul is writing here that the mysteries of God, the hidden wisdom of God, which has been revealed to us, is ordained of God and was ordained of God before the foundation of the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, if the Jews and the Roman soldiers and all that's involved in the crucifixion of Jesus had known he was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, they would have never crucified him. They didn't know that. And they didn't believe that. And they hated him. They despised him. They rejected him. And then they released a murderer and they crucified him. And the Lord's saying here, that's hidden wisdom. That's hidden wisdom. Jesus Christ is hidden wisdom from the world. And that's the reason they crucified him. He said, verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God had prepared for them that loved him. It hadn't even entered into the hearts of people. To what God, nothing has been seen. Nothing has ever been written. Nothing has ever been seen or heard. And hadn't even entered into the hearts of man what God's doing for us. That's what we got last week. So let's pick up there. Let's go to Isaiah 64. Now we were talking about last week when we ended this study about the world and lost people. And their thoughts and process of Jesus Christ in their heart. The world by nature hates Jesus Christ. God says in Romans chapter 3 that they don't even like to retain God in their knowledge. That is, who God is and what God is and how God operates and how God works. Much less Jesus Christ. Let's go to Isaiah 64 and verse 6 through 8. And let's see what God says about the world. He says, but we are all as unclean things. This is before we're saved. We are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away, and there is none that calleth upon my name. None. None. That stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and thou hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Lord, they're writing here, and the Lord's telling us that the heart process is keeping us from recognizing God as who He is. But now, O Lord, things have changed here, haven't they? The Lord's changing gears here, isn't He? But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. Why? Because we're saved, aren't we? We're different, aren't we? We've changed, haven't we? We are the clay. Listen, we are the clay, and Thou art the potter. Listen, and we are the work of Thy hand. That's what we are. It doesn't matter what that work is in our life as Christians. The fact of the matter is, it is all the work of the hands of God. Everything we were as, and I'm going to Ephesians 2, everything we were as lost people, as people of the world, everything we did was as filthy rags. Nothing was good for God. Nothing praised God. Nothing brought honor to God. This is what we were before we were saved. Now look what Paul writes over here in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, and you have He quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Who quickened us? God did. Now let's look at what we were. He says, but before you were quickened by God, in verse 2 he says, wherein the times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience was working in us. This is what we were before God brought us out of it. He says, among whom we also we had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we were. Remember how Isaiah changed gears a while ago and goes from our lost state to our Christian state? Well, that's what he does here in Ephesians 2. He just got through telling us what we were without Christ, what we were without God. And then verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, whereas He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He had quickened us together in Christ. For by grace you're saved. And then he goes on down, and then he talks about how we're saved by grace through faith. Listen, not of ourselves. It, salvation, is a gift of God. And then verse 9, he says, not of works. Now, I want to go to verse 10. That's where we're at now. For we are His workmanship. Workmanship means creation. We are His creation, created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So we see Isaiah talking about what God had done for us before the world began, and we just got through listening to what Paul talked about, what God was doing for us before the foundation of the world altogether. The first thing we need to understand is our salvation, one, is totally the gift of God to us. The world has been blinded by Satan. These people, the Lord said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if they had known, they didn't know, did they? The world doesn't know. People that hate God doesn't know. People that despise God doesn't know. They simply don't know. They believe these people that are Muslims and Buddhists and the other religions around the world, they think they're doing God's will. When they crucified Jesus, the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers and others that were looking on and helping, they thought they were doing God's will. I mean, you go back to Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus at the time, who held the coats of them and stoned Stephen to death, and recognized himself as that later in Acts, and also went into the church of Jerusalem and persecuted the church and run them out, and then was chasing them down to arrest them or harm them or kill them before Jesus Christ stopped him in his tracks and saved his soul and made him an apostle. And Paul goes in scriptures and he says, hey, I thought I was doing God's will. A lot of people think they're doing God's will when they are not. And then when Paul got toward the end of his ministry in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 15:10, where he said, close to the end of his ministry, he says, hey, I am what I am by the grace of God. I mean, everything I became was by the grace of God. Now, we read here in Ephesians 2:10, where we just read, it says, read again, for we are his creation. Well, if I create something, I made it, didn't I? So we are what we are by the grace of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We can't give ourselves credit for what we are as Christians because God has made us what we are. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 11, tells us that God gives us gifts, spiritual gifts. Well, any gift of God is a spiritual gift because the Holy Spirit gives it to us, doesn't it? Even our salvation. And therefore, God says these gifts I give are diverse. In other words, he gives us all a measure of grace. He doesn't give us all the same measure of grace. He doesn't give us all the same knowledge. He doesn't give us all the same understanding. He doesn't give us all the same words. He goes on in 1 Corinthians 12, down toward 12 down, talking about the church, how that he builds the church, and he puts the members in as it pleased him. And then he says, they're all not all pastors. Everybody can't be a hand, everybody can't be a head, everybody can't be a neck, everybody can't be a leg, everybody can't be a foot. So we have different parts of the body, and God said, I placed that body together as it pleased me. This brings us to our actual message that we got to down to. And that is our third point to this point here. Believers are workers in God as God's workmanship. Believers are God's creation from start to finish. This reason Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. God never consults with anyone. Remember, he said how many twice in two different Old Testament and New Testament, that all this was done before the foundation of the world. God also said, known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. That means anything that was a work of God was before the foundation of the world. How is that? Because God is eternal. God never changes. Everything to God was known unto God for the foundation of the world. He doesn't consult anyone. People talk about God like he's going to care about their thoughts. God don't care about our thoughts. He don't care about our demands or commands or anything else we do. See, we have to understand that what we're able to do as Christians is a gift from God.
It's not because we're good. We weren't never good.
We read in Isaiah. We read in Ephesians. I can read in other places. Go to Romans 3 and find out what we were like before we were saved. We were changed in salvation, weren't we? A change not brought about by us, but a change brought about by God. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So we're new creations. God doesn't seek our thoughts. He doesn't seek our opinion. What could we possibly add to God? Tell me, what could a lost person or even a Christian add to God's opinion or thought? I say opinion, God, so we can understand. God don't have opinions. God has facts. So I'll change it. What can we add to God? What can we add as Christians to God? Nothing. You know, if God was to lift His grace from us, we would all fall. His grace is what holds us up as Christians. Otherwise, we would be like them dominoes. Now, they set them one behind the other, and they hit one, they all just start. That's what we would do. People want to give, Christians want to give themselves too much credit for accomplishments, when our only accomplishments in this world is what God's grace has allowed us to understand. The only thing we're ever going to believe is what God teaches us. God causes us to act according to His ordained will. That's the reason it's an ordained will. Can God's ordained will ever be violated? No. No, God cannot be defeated. God cannot come up short. He is not a man. He is God. He cannot come up short. Everything God ordained, everything God predestinated, everything God elected will happen. People talk as though we can change the course of the future. We cannot. God has ordained. What's He ordained? The next step of God's ordained will for us is that Jesus will come. He will rapture us out of this world and take us home. What's the very next step God has ordained? The Great Tribulation, hasn't it? 3.5 years on the good side, if you call it good side, that's when the peace side is. And then the red horse comes in the second 3.5, and war takes away the peace. And God brings down all these judgments upon this world. And people sit there and they say, oh, God would never do that. God flooded the earth and destroyed everybody in it. My grandchildren were here. They don't get to go to church, and when they do go to church, they listen to people who don't know what they're talking about. And they were, you all probably heard them asking me questions when they walked out the door, because they didn't know the answers. They hear things they'd never heard before. I'm glad they asked. We went to lunch together, and they were still asking. Asked how to be saved. I told them. Both of them, I think, had already been baptized. Neither one of them had been saved. Or they've been dumped. See, when God works with people, people start to learn. So, the Lord says, neither have entered into the hearts of man. What man? Anybody. neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. They don't even come to our hearts. You know, when we start understanding what God is doing for us, when God does. You know why the mystery of God is called a mystery? You know why it's called hidden? Because nobody sees it, nobody can find it, and nobody will ever understand it. It's given to us as a gift. How do you think I become a pastor? Why wasn't Larry a pastor? Why isn't Frank a pastor? Why isn't Justin a pastor? Why wasn't Ronnie? Ronnie told me one time, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, I wouldn't give anything for the Lord to call me to preach. But he didn't. See, and you say, well, I should, no, that isn't just pastors. That's every phase of the church. Lord says in 1 Corinthians 12, from 12 down, that he puts the body, the church together, and he puts the pieces in there as he has wants to have them. We don't know these things, do we? We don't even understand what God does for us, do we? We sing a song called Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Go ahead. I've asked you this 20 times, if not 100. Go ahead, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Can you even name the blessings God done for you last month, this last 30 days? How about the last 2 weeks? And when I say name the blessings, I mean name all the blessings God done for you. How about the last 7 days? How about the last 24 hours? You can't. You know why you can't? Because you don't know what they are. He could have caused you to be late and kept you from having a major accident. He could have kept you from getting on a flight that crashed, a train that derailed, a place where somebody got a drive-by shooting. See, we don't understand what God's doing in our lives until God reveals it to us. We don't even know all the blessings God gives us in a day's time until God shows it to us. I mean, God does it, we don't even recognize it. Because the heart haven't even thought about it, and the ear and eyes hadn't even seen or heard. Until God reveals it to us, we just don't get it, do we? Let's go to Romans 8:28. I'm going to assume everybody here could probably quote Romans 8:28. You might not be able to, but most Christians that love the Lord can almost quote Romans 8:28. So let's look at it. For we Christians, we believers, know, okay? We don't think, we don't suppose. It says, and we know, what do we know? We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Now stop right there. Do you believe that? See, you have to believe it because God said it, didn't you? So you have to open up your mind and your heart, and you have to believe and understand that whether things don't look like they might work together for the good, they do. Because God promised. He didn't say some things, did he? He didn't say, you know, some preachers, they get up in pulpits and a lot of Christians will repeat them and like they have authority and know what they're talking about when they don't know what they're talking about. And say, look, God don't want anything bad to happen in your life.
God doesn't cause anything bad to happen to people. Now, I don't know who their God is. But my God, at one time, flooded this earth and killed every man, woman, and child in it. Except for 8 people on the ark. That was my God. And he did it because every thought of their heart was continually evil. So much so, it says in Galatians, in Genesis, that he repented of even making them. And I can't imagine what they were doing that it had to be worse than what we're doing on this earth today. But he is going to destroy this earth one day with fire. And then he's going to melt it for heat. But for us Christians, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So if you love God, you have to know in your heart that everything that happens to you has a goodness behind it. He didn't say it would be good for you. He didn't say you're going to love it and enjoy it. A lot of Christians were sacrificed and martyred for the Lord. But it was to their good, because you know what? When they opened their eyes up in heaven, one day Jesus is going to give them a great reward for that. Ever know about that? To them who are the called according to his purpose. Not your purpose, not my purpose, not our purpose, but God called us by his own purpose, by his own will, by his own choosing. That's powerful. See, a lot of people read that, they quote that, they post on Facebook, they post on Twitter, like they know what they're talking about, and they don't even understand it. They never even really read it, I guess. Because you have to put some, oh, I know what it is. They don't see what the Lord is saying. The mystery of God's will is what God does for us, the ear is not seen, heard, and the eye have not seen, and the heart has not even thought about it. Now drop down to verse 29. We get some more scripture here that people hate to hear. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, as to be Christian. So, to us who are called according to God's purpose, in verse 28, in verse 29 he drops down, for whom he did foreknow, which means he knew them before. Well, when did he know it? Before the foundation of the world. Because known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. And since he foreknew us, he also predestinated us what to be conformed to the image of his Son. How are you conformed? How are you conformed to the image of his Son? You're saved. Why are we called Christians? Well, we were first called Christians at Antioch, weren't we? And it was a word of shame at the time. Now it's a word of honor. To be called Christ-like. Why are we called Christ-like? Because we are in Christ, and because of Christ, we are children of God like unto him. We never sin because Christ shed his blood for our sins. Verse 30, be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And whom he called, them he justified. That means he made them righteous.
And them whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, are we glorified? If you are saved today, your spirit has been glorified. It's been quickened, made alive, and the Holy Spirit works with you. That means it's been glorified. If you are saved tonight, your soul has been glorified. Your soul has been glorified in that it's been cleansed. Our filth has been removed. Remember the filth? When Isaiah talked about the filth that we were, that Paul talks about? That's been removed from us by the blood of Jesus. So our souls have been glorified. What hasn't been glorified? The third part of our body, or our being, is our body. It will be glorified when Jesus Christ returns and brings them up out of the grave and gives them a new glorified body like unto him. And then we which are alive and remaining unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air with new glorified bodies. That means that our spirit has been glorified. Our soul has been glorified. And when Jesus comes, whether we're dead or alive, our bodies will be caught up and be glorified too. And then we will be glorified. Some of it's waiting. Salvation's a process of God's working in us. When the last straw is taken, which would be the glorification of our body, then salvation is complete. It's complete for us. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. So how does this do with them? How does this build of a mature Christian? Maturity as a Christian is understanding this. You say, well, this is easy. No, it's not. You know how many people that are in churches and pastors and doctors and PhDs that can't understand these things? I fight with them all the time. I used to. I don't anymore. I just unfriend them on Facebook and I don't do them. I'm an old senile man now. I am not going to start arguing with people. But this is the argument. That God don't do anything, we do it all when we find out that God does it all. That's when you become mature. When you read your Bible, what we've read tonight, have I preached anything that we have not read in the scriptures tonight? Well, let's go to another one of my favorite passages here. And that is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 through 14, where maturity is putting the text of the scripture or the context of the scripture into trusting God. So what's he say in verse 11? In whom we also have attained an inheritance, that's by being saved. He says, he talks about being saved by the blood of Jesus and how we were made. And over in Romans, he talks about how we were created to be like Christ. And he talks about that we have attained inheritance and salvation, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Not my will, not your will, not the church's will, not some other party's will, but the will of God. Let's read it, that last part again. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him, that's God, who worketh all things at the counsel of his, that would be God, his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory through first trusting in Christ, listen closely, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So when did you hear it? Let me ask you something. When you were saved, did you go to church? When you were saved, did you hear the preacher preach? How many times before you were saved did you think you heard the gospel through these ears, not your spirit, but through these ears? How many times, let me rephrase it. How many times do you think a preacher preached about salvation, preached the gospel before you were saved? If you went to church, and it was a decent church with a decent preacher, you probably heard the gospel preached many times through his ears. And it never affected you. Ever. It never changed you. It never affected you. Until that one time you heard. Through these ears, into the ear in your inner person, which is your spirit, which the Holy Spirit had quickened. Ephesians 2:1, where he had quickened us, made us alive, the spirit. See, people can't hear if they're dead. They can't hear if they're dead. Not here, but in their heart, in their spirit. Let's go back. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a stamp. What the word sealed, it talks about a stamp. You were stamped with the seal of promise of God by the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. It's a praise of his glory because he done it all. Now you go back to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, where he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. This is the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men of the New Testament time, who penned about 13 or 14 books of the Bible. Toward the end of his ministry, and he's declaring no credit, no glory. He probably didn't even know he was writing scripture. He was just writing letters to these churches. He may have written 100. He may have written 100 of them. We don't know how many he wrote. I don't even think they even knew that what they were writing were scripture at the time. Holy Spirit just inspired them and attended. He never thought of himself as great. He never thought of himself as accomplishing anything. Because he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. The grace of God was given unto me. And I'm going to tell you, like some others, it wasn't wasted. That is a mature Christian. When they can say, I know that God has given me this amount of grace, and I took it and I ran with it and I did everything God wanted me to do with it, because God's grace on me wasn't wasted. Well, how can you waste God's grace? I don't know. Maybe a Christian that refuses to go to church. Maybe a Christian that refuses to read God's Word, study God's Word, learn God's Word. Maybe a Christian that refuses to mature as a Christian in the understanding of what God is telling us in His Word.
Could that be what Paul was talking about? Could that be it? God gives a lot of Christians grace that they don't do anything with.
God talks about an apostasy, falling away.
Well, falling away is not lost people. They had no opportunity to fall away. They never had it. How can you fall away if you never had it? Well, I'm going to fall away from the teacher's union. Well, I'm not a part of the teacher's union. I'm going to fall away and not buy AT&T anymore because they're doing all bad things with their money. I don't buy from AT&T, so that's easy for me to say, isn't it? It's without sacrifice, isn't it?
Paul sacrificed. Matthew sacrificed. John sacrificed. All these others in Scripture sacrificed.
Abraham was going to sacrifice his own son that God had given him through grace
beyond his years. He was going to sacrifice him on that altar, wasn't he? When God sent around. I wonder how many people at that time would have been willing to do that. I wonder how many Christians would have been willing, and all Christians that received God's grace, would have been willing to do what Abraham did or Paul did. Or how about all those Christians in the dark ages? In the 1500s, 1400s, that gave their life to stand upon the truth of God's word and not allow these people to take it away from them. Would not recant Jesus Christ. And they were martyred. Rolled in water, threw to the animals to be fed while they're still alive. Rolled over rocks till every bone in their body was broken. Heads cut off, hung, crucified. All of them were given grace of God. And all of them matured as Christians, didn't they? They did it for a purpose. And that's what we do. We do our growth as maturity as Christians for a purpose to learn about God. The same God that the world is ignorant to, we want to understand. We can't get enough knowledge of Him. God just keeps pouring in Him. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for our visitors being here tonight. And we hope that you all have a good